chapter 5. When you have that, say amen. And we won't be before you not too long, but that's just me. The Holy Spirit may have me going a little bit. Amen. We're in a time where we have to be mindful and encouraged and always ready, amen, to be in spiritual warfare, because we have an adversary, the devil, who is doing all that he can to try to discourage the saints of God. Shared the scripture a few weeks ago, but I wanted to go back and touch a couple of other points. It says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, now feed the flock of God. Somebody say, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So basically, the apostles is advocating, listen, teach, feed the flock of God. Let your motives not be for your selfish gain. Amen. Even though there's nothing wrong with being blessed by the ministry. Amen. But you have people who that's their pure motive. Amen. Is to really make use of the people for their own lust and their own desires. Amen. But our motivation in ministry, whether you're in leadership, whether you're a minister or whatever that you do, let everything be done, be your motivation be based on love for the people of God, love for your brothers. Amen. I don't, and you shouldn't do things necessarily for others to bless you back, but do things, amen, because you love the brother and because you care about the person. Amen. And if and God will bless you. He may not bless you through that person, but God will smile on you, amen, because he sees that what you did out of a motivation of love. Love has to be the glue that binds us together. Love has to be in between the bricks, has to be that mortar. That because if it's not rooted and grounded and based in love, amen, it's not cemented together. And when tests and storms and trials come, and hello, they will come. Amen. Thank God for the shift. Amen. But with the shift, higher level, greater devils. Amen. With the shift, amen, don't get too comfortable. Amen. It was sometimes even after the victory that sometimes people begin to relax, but it's after the victory that you've got to be watchful even more. Because the enemy hates progress. Not only progress, I'm talking corporate, on a corporate level, but individual level in your life. You're doing well. You're making achievements. You're accomplishing some of your goals. Amen. Things are happening, beginning to rebound for you. Don't take your eyes off of the devil. And not so much that, and understand that God's got your back. But what he's saying here is, listen, be alert. Be watchful. Because the devil, he doesn't play by the rules. Amen. You and I, in a fight, we may, out of decency and out of us, most of us would be, I said most of us, most of us would say, I'm not going to hit him with a brick. It's like, man, I might kill him, you know, unless you just had to. But I got to tell you, sometimes when you're dealing with demons, you got to be that ruthless. Hear what I'm saying? And concerning spiritual battle, you don't go there to make an agreement with the devil. You don't go there to say, I just want to extend my hand in friendship. I just want us to get along. I'm not an aggressive person. I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover. I'm not here to call. Listen, there are some times, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost, that you and I have to be militant in the spirit. In other words, you've got to have that take all mentality. I'm not talking about in the flesh, amen, but I'm talking in the spirit. When you are in spiritual warfare, amen, you got to understand that you're not going there to wound, but you're going there to exercise full and dominant control through the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. And that's why God is saying, I've given you my spirit. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the power that God is talking about is not power to look cute, not power to prance around in front of people, not power to say how beautiful you are, and you may be all of that, but power to fight the devil. Power to resist sin. Power to evangelize and preach the gospel. Power to give you boldness that you, and listen, you, isn't it amazing? You can get somebody who's shy, somebody who's introverted. You can get somebody who says, you know, but if the Spirit of God come upon you, and you begin, and it's not you, but it's Christ in you, and the Spirit of Christ begins to rise up in you, and there's a boldness that begins to come out. Well, it's not you, but it's the power of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? Who is the Holy Spirit? Amen. He is. He's not an it. It's a he. It's a personality. Is the number one. There are many attributes we can describe. He's the Spirit of truth. He only speaks the truth. And we've got to be willing to hear the truth. Now, there are times that I've prayed and I say, Lord, you know, do this in me. Lord, show me, Lord, if anything's not right. Lord. And I got to be honest. There's some things when the Spirit of truth began to speak to me or show me, I didn't like what I saw. I didn't. I said, Lord, you know, he began to show you yourself. He begins to show you there's some pride there. Oh, you want the Spirit of truth to speak? You want to be used by God? You want God to elevate you? You want to do ministry? Well, guess what? Guess what? You got to be the first recipients. When we say, God, examine me, amen, we got to understand what we're saying. Sometimes we just say things, we just speak words, and we don't understand the full weight of what we're saying or what we're requesting. But when you're saying, God, examine me, even as David said, if you find anything that's not, I mean, we just say it because it sounds good and I want to sound noble. But do you really mean that? Are you ready to change? Are you really ready, amen, to deal with the person, amen, that God is showing you? He said, listen, and it's not to put you down. It's not to punish you. It's not to put you on a guilt trip or try to control you in a negative way. But it's really to build you up. It's to make you stronger and make you wiser. See, God takes us through these boot camps now. Because when we get out of basic training and amen, and we move on to advanced training, when God shifts us out of there, he knows that there are things that we're going to encounter that unless you are prepared for mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and yes, even physically, amen, you can be susceptible, amen, to the attacks of the enemy. Amen. Things within your control. Let me say it that way. Amen. Sometimes things happen, amen, and it's out of our control. But we've got to do all that we can do, amen, to make sure that we're on God's program and not our own. Amen. And say, God, I want you to use me. So he's saying, listen, leaders, feed the flock of God. Give them wholesome food. Amen. Don't give them junk food. Amen. Give them a balanced meal, a balanced spiritual meal that they can grow. Amen. And he says, take an oversight. I mean, being responsible, looking, being a watchman, encouraging, scaring away the wolves. Amen. There are times as leaders, amen, sometimes we gotta scatter the wolves when they try to come in and devour the sheep. We have to knock them upside the head. And sometimes, and I always say this, growing up, a lot of times I didn't. I said, man, why was that pastor so hard? And, you know, why did that pastor say it like that? You know, he didn't have to say it like that. Man, that was wrong. But being on the other side, I understand years later that there's sometimes, amen, the shepherd's got to pull out the staff. And he's got to go upside the wolf because the wolf is here to devour and tear and rip the sheep. What kind of leader would you be if you let someone come in? What kind of parent would you be if you just let anybody come in and attack your children? You're not going to let it happen. You are going to fight, and even if it costs you your life, you're going to protect your children. Amen? Because this is your children that God has blessed you with. Amen? Well, even at a spiritual level, amen, those in authority, they've been given a duty and a responsibility to be watchmen, to be overseers, amen, to teach, to feed, to encourage, to correct the people of God. And let's move on. And it says here, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but examples to the flock. We're not here as leaders, and I'm not here as a pastor to be a potentate, to be a dictator, to be a ruthless, you know, person, because I say do it. You know, listen, you should be obedient to those who have the rule over you, but we have to first be an example. Amen. When you see somebody who's serving Christ and you see that they have a real relationship with Christ, amen. Paul said what? Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. So it's okay, but if you see me trying to do my own thing, you see me trying to lead you and give you poison and not, you know, listen, I don't care who it is. You need to get out of there. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. It says here, and he says the reward is coming. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives more grace unto the humble. Amen. When you have that spirit of servitude and humility, amen, it's conducive and it reproduces. There's a love there. Amen. And it's a bed, just as soil is a place for a seed to grow. Amen. When you have this right spirit in a place, it's a bed, spiritually speaking, that growth, good growth, will take place. And you will see an abundance, amen, and the Lord will bless. But listen to this. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That he may exalt you in due time. Now, God will use people around you, amen, to work. But ultimately, promotion comes from God. Amen. Listen, I tell people, listen, people can't keep, if God got you set for promotion, you said they're keeping me down. Listen, no man can keep you down. If God be for you, I don't care if it's Bishop Tutu, I don't care if it's Pastor Saavedra, I don't care who it is, if God be for you, then you can't help but grow. You can't help but be blessed. You can't help but grow in God. And God will do great things in your life. If God is on the side of the righteous, you will, amen, be blessed. Listen to this. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be alert. Don't be lackadaisical. Don't get so complacent, but be vigilant. Be at the ready, because we have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Amen. It says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. See, you can't resist them on your own, but it's got to be in the faith. It's got to be through the power of God. It's got to be through the power of his word. I don't care how deep and how great and how intellectual and how good you are. You have not the skills of yourself to deal with the devil. But if you resist him in the faith, if you resist him with the word, if you resist him with the anointing that's on the inside of you, if you resist him based on what God has said, then guess what? You will overcome every attack, every assignment, every strategy, everything that the devil tries to do against you. You will win. So I got to realize that I can't fight you on my own, but I'm going to bring something that's bigger than me. I'm going to bring something that's stronger than me. I'm going to bring something that's wiser and more intelligent than me. And it's my God. It's the Spirit of the living God that's on the inside of me. And there are times God will simply say, step aside. I'm going to fight your battle. God says, sometimes don't even open your mouth. He says, I'm going to deal with your enemy. I'm going to deal with those who fight against you. I'm going to deal with those who rise up against you. I'm going to deal with those who try to set you up. Just be still and see the salvation anointing of the Lord. Just be still and watch me work. Just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God will guard you with a jealousy. You know why? Because we are his children. We have been bought with a price. Amen. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Satan has no right, has no authority, has no legal nothing on us. So we are God's property. And when the devil comes in as a flood, the Bible even lets us know that the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against them, because the devil's going to try you just the same. But you got to stand in the name of Jesus, and you've got to proclaim, and you've got to speak the word with power, with boldness, and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to say, in the name of Jesus, I shall not be moved. In the name of Jesus, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in, and I'm not laying down. In the name of Jesus, God has called me to be the head and not the tail. In the name of Jesus, I'm rising up from this sickness. I'm rising up from this financial collapse. I'm rising up from this broken marriage. I'm rising up all from all the negative stuff, and I shall be everything that God has decreed and declared and spoken over my life. It shall come to pass. Whatever God has said, I agree with it. I believe the word of God. God said, you shall win. You shall come out of this. Amen. There's no devil in hell that can keep you down. The devil may try to fight you. He may try to set you up. He may try to cast you down. But I'm here to let you know that those who are on the Lord's side, those who belong to Christ, those who are in the Father's hand, those who have made the Lord their refuge, their pavilion, their strength, their castle, their high tower, those who have made the Lord their counselor, their judge, their lawyer, those who have made the Lord their doctor, their friend, their mother, their father, those who have made the Lord everything, God said, I'll step right on in. Amen. When the devil comes in and he thinks he's going to try to push you over, but because of the Spirit of the living God that's on the inside of you, he will cause you to try in everything you do. You're coming out. I don't care how bad it looks. You're coming out. You might be in a midnight situation, but you're coming out. You may be in the sick bed, but you're coming out. You may be cast down, but you're coming out. Because my God is an awesome God. My God is a powerful God. And no matter what the devil tries to do, it was a poet, D'Angelo, what was her name? She just passed. Amen. She had a poem, Mayo D'Angelo. She said, I still rise. And she had a poem, no matter what, you can't keep me down because I still rise. And no matter what you do to me, you can't keep me down because I still rise. No matter what I've been through, it's not the end because I still rise. I might be down, but don't remember me there because I'm getting up. That's not my permanent place. I might have stumbled. I might have fallen. I might have made a mistake, but I still rise. Don't judge me by what you see now. You don't see like God see. You try to reference me based when I was down, but God see me when I'm up. And God said, you can do all things through Christ, which gives you strength. You might be in a pit. You might bend down, but I'm here to let you know that God said, get up. It's time to get ready. It's time to do my work. It's time to preach my word. It's time to witness in the earth. He said, get up. I understand there's a warfare. I understand there's a struggle, but I'm not giving up. I'm going to fight, amen, because there's a fighter inside of me. There's something on the inside of me that even when my flesh gets tired and even when my mind gets weak, there's something that begins to happen on the inside. I can't explain it. I can't communicate it. I can't articulate it. I can't begin to express it, but it's something on the inside that begins to shift. There's something on the inside
that begins to percolate. There's something on the inside that begins to burn me. There's something on the inside that begins to encourage me. When everybody said give up, when everybody said it's over, when everybody said there's no hope, when everybody said you can't do it, but there's something on the inside, the Spirit of the living God that said, I called you from your mother's womb. I knit you together and I formed you and I know you and I've called you to preach. I've called you to be a witness. I've called you to lead the nations. I've called you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I've got to keep fighting. I've got to keep wrestling. I know as long as we're alive on this planet, there's going to be a struggle. The Bible lets us know we wrestle not against principalities, against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I understand there's a warfare. There's a hand-to-hand combat. When you're thinking about a wrestling match, it's really two opponents who are trying to outskill and outmaneuver one another and who are trying to use their ability to put the other one down. But here is the blessing. We've already been given the victory. We've already been given the win. God just simply said, get in the ring. God said, I know the battle's already yours, but get in the ring. See, I just want to frustrate the devil. I want to show the world who God is. I know you're going through, but get in the ring. I know you had a bloody nose, but get in the ring. But I tell you this, I know at the end of the fight, and when the bell rings, you're going to walk out victorious. You're going to walk out with your hands raised, and your enemy shall be defeated. Your enemy shall be defeated. And so God is saying, get up and stand and do what I've called you to do. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Quickly, Hebrews 4, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. He's saying, seeing then, understanding, comprehending, put it together. Know this, I'm trying to show you. He's trying to say, listen, since we have this great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, let us, somebody say let us, hold fast, say hold fast, our profession. I don't care what it is, hold fast of your profession. I don't care what you're going through, hold fast to your faith. I don't care what you're dealing with, hold fast unto God's hand. I don't care what it looked like, hold fast unto what God has promised you. I don't care what others say, hold fast unto the word of God that's been spoken over your life. Hold fast unto the victory God said is yours. So God is saying, hold fast to your profession and everything that comes with it. It says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Feelings are real. You can say, you know, I don't have feelings. No, God made us emotional creatures. The thing is, we can't allow emotions to rule us. Amen. We can't allow the flesh, amen, to dictate to us. We're going to have things and issues, amen, but we are not emotion led, we are spirit led, amen. We listen to the voice of God, amen, because there are sometimes your emotions and your body's telling you something else. Your emotions say, I don't feel like it. Your body's saying, I'm tired, and it may be, but you know what? You have to listen to the word, I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. I don't know if I could pass this course. No, you can do all things through Christ, which gives you strength. I don't know if I can graduate. No, you can do all things through Christ, which gives you strength. I don't know if this is going to work out. You can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. The key is not I, not you, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is our source. He is our protector. He is our provider. He is our encourager. He is everything that you and I need. And as long as we defer to him and say, Lord, I can't do it without you, Matter of fact, I don't even want to try. I don't even want to be, I don't want to go out the door, God, unless you with me. Even though I've gotten dressed 100,000 times, Lord, when I go out there, God, I need you with me when I step on this job. I need you with me when I go to this school. I need you with me when I go to this courtroom. I need you with me when I go to this hospital. I need you with me when I go here and I go there. God, I can't do it without you. God, I need you in the morning. I need you in the noonday. I need you at nighttime. I need you when I'm sleeping to watch over me. I need you to wake me up early. God, I need you. I don't know about you, but anybody need the Lord? Some people say, well, you're weak-minded and you're looking for God to be a crutch. And my response to be, well, if I'm weak-minded to you, then so be it. But the Bible said, let this mind which was in Christ be also in me. Matter of fact, you can have this mind. I want to lose my mind anyway. And I want the mind of Christ. It's my mind that gets me in trouble anyway. So you can say what you want. It doesn't matter what you say. But I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know who I am in the Lord. He has made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. Behold, all things are passed away and all things are made new. I may look the same, but there's something that took place. There's been a transformation. There's been a metamorphosis. There's been a change. And you maybe can't see it with your natural eye. But my heart is a heart of flesh. It's no longer a heart of stone. But I'm sensitive to the voice of God. I'm sensitive to the leading of the Spirit. I'm sensitive to what God wants me to be and do. But listen to this. It says, he was tempted or tested in all points. In other words, God is saying, the Lord Jesus is saying, everything that you go through, and you will go through things, you are not alone. Every temptation, every test, the Lord experienced it. And he says, yet without sin. So he said, you can make it. You can raise up over it. Bible says, Proverbs says, a righteous man may fall several times, but does he stay there? He gets up. You can take the best people and they can fall. But here's the grace and the victory and the wisdom of God. You know what? They can get back up. I can brush off the dirt and I can start my journey afresh. Just because I'm there, don't define me. Some people like to define you in your worst state. Some people want to define you in your worst state. They want to say, that's who she or is. That's what I remember. But that's okay if you want to define me. But see, you don't understand the miracle working power of God. See, while people try to judge me based on my former state or my worst state, while you keep salivating and being happy that I was down, but I'm here to let you know that God is doing a work in me. That while you're looking for me there, God has raised me up over here. And if you don't watch out sometimes, and I've seen it in my own personal life, that even those, amen, who try to judge you and evaluate you there, sometimes God will raise you above them right in their presence. He will prepare a table before you right in the presence of your enemies. So let them talk. Don't shoo them away. They're supposed to be there to see it. They're supposed to be there to watch you go up. And it's not for you to take the pride for the air, but you just say, God did it. See, I remember when you did this. I remember when you did that. But look at you now. How did you? And they're trying to scratch their head because they know they got more degrees than you. They know they make more money than you. They know they've had more certain jobs. So how did you know? I'm not going to take the glory. God did it. Amen. He favored me. As they say, favor ain't what? Favor ain't fair. Amen. But because of the grace of God that showered over your life, man, you and I, what we deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. It's about the grace of God. Amen. Because truly, if we go by that measure, we none of us should be here. If we got what we deserved, some of us should have been put away a long time. Some of us should be dead. Amen.
That's the preacher, that's the pastor, everybody. Amen. But it wasn't your goodness. It wasn't your smartness. It wasn't your gifting or ability. It was the grace of God. It was the mercy of God. It was the prayers of the saints. It was the prayers of the church mothers. It was the prayers of the preachers. It was the prayers of those around you that said, God, be merciful. God, spare them. God, use them. And God, what does he do? He raises us up and he uses us. So therefore, in closing, verse 16, it says, with that, we can, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the grace, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And see, when we come in boldly, amen, we're not coming in with, but we're coming in with the righteousness of Christ, the blood of Christ. Me and of myself, I couldn't come into that inner holy of holies. But because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but because of what was done on Calvary's cross, on Golgotha's hill, because that Jesus stretched out his arms and gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. Because he said, it is finished, for us, it just began. Because we were destined and we were cut off and we were separated from God. We were exiled from God, doomed and destined to a Christless grave and an ultimate separation from God. But Jesus hung on that cross, enduring the shame, enduring the punishment, enduring the infliction, enduring the catcalling, the whippings, the mockings, all the things that he suffered for us. The blood that came dripping down, mixed with water and blood. It was for our cleansing, for our washing. It was a covenant. Thank you, Holy Ghost. It was a covenant that God said, because my son paid the price, I'm going to forgive them of every sin. And just as in the children of Exodus, when they were in Egypt and the death angel came and he said, when I see the blood, I'm going to pass over you. Oh, you're not surviving because you're so great. It's only because the blood. When I see the blood. Because I'm sure some folk that were in some of them houses, they did some stuff too. Let's be truthful. But it was the blood that the angel passed by. Some of us, we've done some stuff. But it's the blood that has cleansed us and washed us. That he washed us, cleansed us. So I thank God for the blood. Churches, they don't like to talk about the blood. Amen. But we got to talk about the blood of Jesus Christ. The price that he paid for us. So we could go boldly into his presence. And what's so awesome about this, that no matter what you need, no matter where you are, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, that we have the ability to go to God. Say, God, I come into your presence. I have this. Everyone's standing. That you may obtain mercy. What is mercy? Help, grace, hope in the time of need. All of us, at some point in our life, we need to obtain and find that mercy. We need to have, and God's got an open door policy. Come unto me all your labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Seek me with your whole heart, and you will find me. Knock. and the door shall be opened. He says, he that cometh unto me with an humble and contrite spirit. Listen to what the word said. He said, I will in no wise cast out. I'm going to receive you as a son. I'm going to receive you as a daughter. You know what he's going to do? He says, I'm going to wrap my arms around you.